Without any further ado, I'd like to bring to you our beloved Sheikh. You seem to have a very humorous way about your presentation, and oftentimes you have come under some criticism as a result. Would you care to share with us what is the purpose for humor in your presentations, and how do you handle the criticism? There's some who say that, you know, you're not taking Islam seriously or what have you.
Bismillah. Alhamdulillah. Yeah. Boy, you really put it on me that one time, didn't you? You got that from that interview they did with Bush the other night, didn't you? How many of you saw that? One of the journalists stood up and he said, Mr. President, how do you answer the criticism that some people say that no matter what question they ask you, you always come up with this war on terrorism answer? I fell over. I thought that was great. I didn't know it was going to be popped on me that way. Alhamdulillah. Okay, well, I was set up. Can I see your press pass?
Something called that payback.
Stuff. Payback.
Excuse me.
Payback? That. First of all, he's right about this. When I first started in Islam, I found some things that were so amazing, so overwhelming, that sometimes I couldn't sleep at night. I still have that from time to time where I can't sleep. Because I realize a reality, an impending, I don't want to say doom, but an impending reality that's very real for all of us. All of us who are Muslim understand it's just a matter of time before it happens. The day of retribution, or Yawm al-Haq. When it comes, it's a great reality. Allah asks us about this in the Quran. So, I was very consumed in the beginning, the first few years, and constantly studying and reading and studying and sitting with scholars as much as I could in those days. I became very serious. And I used to be a fun-loving guy. I used to be in the entertainment field. I was in the music business. Everybody knows that. I was a long time owning businesses. And used to do our own television show. The Estes Music Jamboree was down in Florida. And we had Estes Music Studios in Texas. It was well known. Well known. But when I got into Islam, a lot of people said, man, you became like a, you know, an old grouch. You're like always worried. You know, you scare me. I don't know. Even the Muslims, when I would talk, they'd be like, okay, don't go around him, man. You'll feel down. You'll be scared all the time. You know. And it wasn't until maybe 8 years or something like that. Something just came in my mind kind of comical, and I said it while I was giving the talk. And the people started laughing. And somebody said afterwards that it really helped them to better understand what I was talking about. And I thought, you know what, it is my personality. You know that. How long we've been running together?
5 years.
5 years. And we cut up all the time. Right? That's how I am. I can't help it. But at the same time, as far as our presentation about Islam, I do take it very, very seriously. But I learned something from when I was down on the Nahr Nil, the Nile River. The people there, some of them are some of the wisest people I've ever met. They were the ones that really helped me to know Islam the very most. But what I learned from those people, by the way, that's in Egypt, Upper Egypt, on the Nile River. And those people are funny, but at the same time, they have a deep message. And they are oppressed a lot, but yet they manage to use their humor to overcome this. And I really appreciate knowing people like this, who no matter how much hardship they experience, they can find some humor to help them get through it. It's a way to keep your sanity. If you've seen what some of the brothers and sisters have seen in their countries, what they've experienced, you can understand why some turn to some very drastic measures. You can understand it. You don't have to agree with it. In fact, we don't. But you can see how it happens. At the same time, you can find that there are a majority, though, who find a way to work it through and even to be able to find some humor in themselves to keep going. And certainly, a little bit of sugar will help the medicine go down. And that's the approach that I've been taking. And ever since I started, in Pakistan, our program is like the number one program that they broadcast in Pakistan and parts of India right now. They have 26 of my shows that I did maybe 3 or 4 years ago, and they still run them over and over and over and over, the same shows. Canada the same way. In fact, this is the only English-speaking country where you don't find our stuff being broadcast constantly. I wonder why.
Chef, you mentioned the experience in many countries. Could you share with us some of your more memorable visits to some countries outside of the United States?
Before I say anything, I'm going to tell you, no matter what country I go to, it's always good to come home. I love my country just like everybody here. When I talk to them, they love their countries too. And while I'm on that subject, I'll mention that I met a lot of Muslims who came here from other countries, and they say they love America more than they do their own country. And it's true. But while I've visited countries, I've also loved the people there. The people that I met and dealt with. They weren't always Muslims, but for sure I had a good time, and they were always very respectful and generous and kind. Everywhere I went. Europe, the Gulf, Middle East, Africa, Turkey. Wherever I went, I always found people. Did I win something? Did I say a magic word or anything? Do I get any money?
Not to mention.
Darn. Just my luck. Anyhow, when I visited, as an example, Sweden, which I just mentioned to you, some great experiences I had there that really taught me a lot. And the people there, I stayed in touch with afterwards. It made a lot to me. I watched an amazing thing. The country of Sweden is a socialist country. One of the things they will tell you as soon as you go there to Sweden is that they're a socialist country. Their income tax is one of the highest in the world, by the way. But they provide for everything from the human being from the time they're born till the time they die. That's what they tell you. They will also tell you very quickly they're the number one in the world for suicide. Yes. I was standing on a bridge, getting a guided tour, taking pictures. I had the camera on, actually. They asked me, do you know what this bridge is famous for? And there are a lot of bridges in Stockholm, by the way, because it's a city of islands. I said, I have no idea. I said, it's famous for people jumping off and killing themselves. I said, oh my God. And how far down is it to the water? And I looked down and it was a freeway under there. I said, there's no water. They said, that's the whole idea. If the fall doesn't get you, a truck will. I said, oh my God. Are you serious? They said, you see this big fence over it? That's why they put the fence there. Woo. I was in Urubru. And there's a funny looking mountain. It looks like a burnt marshmallow. And we're driving along. It's kind of rainy. You know. They said, you know what that mountain's famous for? I said, I have no idea. People jumping off and killing themselves. I said, you guys have a lot of great tourist attractions here, you know. Please don't go to Disney World. Whew. But they said an amazing thing, which gave me the tip of the whole problem for them. They said, we were the last ones on earth to accept Christianity and the first to reject it. I said, there's your problem. I'm not a Christian. I think you know that. But I'm telling you, I saw their problem right away. They rejected belief in God. They took what instead? The belief in the state. And when you do that, what do you have? What happens to you? When you don't believe in God, what do you have to look forward to? Because as long as everything's going along good, you're happy. I'm happy with the king, I'm happy with the prime minister, I'm happy with whoever. But what happens when things go sour on you? What happens when you lose a loved one? What happens when you lose your job, or your integrity, or your honor, or social status? What do you do? You do what they do. They kill themselves. They go to drugs. They go to alcoholism. They're the number one in alcoholism, in drugs, rape, sexual abuse, pornography. Denmark has, for years, been the headquarters of pornography in the world. Yes. When I was there, I gave talks to the people, because they send the people out sort of like for something to do so many days a week. And one of the things they do is send them to mosques for a cultural rehabilitation. They just send them around and look at stuff, you know. Send them to the bakery one day, a brewery the next day, you know. Just go see how things are done. They send them to the mosques because they said it's cultural. They're getting paid to go to the mosques in busloads. Like a tourist trap, you know. I'm serious. And I sat in there and I said, can I talk to them? They said, go ahead. I said, okay. I said, how many of you here today do not know how to speak English? Did you get that? Did I wake you up again? I am sorry. Okay. How many here don't understand what I'm saying? Raise your hand. But then I asked them, how many spoke English? Almost everybody there did. And I talked to them and I said, you know, I understand your problem. Why you have so many people here committing suicide? You don't have a religion. You don't have a God. You don't have anything to believe in. And the more I talked to them, I found many of them ready to accept the idea there is a God. He's one. And you need to worship Him without partners. From there, I went to Turkey. When I got to Turkey, I was told, don't worry, in Turkey everybody's already a Muslim. That's what I was told. Guess what? Ever heard of the Blue Mosque? How many of you heard of the Blue Mosque? Beautiful. It's on all of the calendars and postcards for Turkey that you ever saw. Am I right? With those long spires that go up, 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 up. Beautiful. The big, huge dome that it has sitting on the Marmara Sea. It's just breathtaking when you see it. And by the way, I've been up in the top of the minaret and did a TV program up there. But guess what? My first day there, I prayed Maghrib, the Salat, when the sun goes down, came out and stood in the doorway of that mosque and talked to a gentleman by the name of Philip from New York until almost time for Isha. And guess what he did? He prayed Isha with us because he took Shahada, alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, he became a Muslim. Oh yeah. Now if you said, well, you just lucked out. I know I did. Everything's from Allah, you know. The next night, a gentleman from England sat with me at the table for dinner, and we got to talking. A few minutes later, he stood up and he said, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, ashhadu Muhammad Rasulullah. The ladies at the next table were listening to he and I talk, and one of them was there. She said, I have my best friend is a Muslim, and I've always wanted to know more, and I just learned it tonight. I'm ready to enter into Islam. Two ladies at that table, and then her young boy decided he also would like to be a Muslim too. That's four in one dinner. Not bad. Plus tip. I had a great stay while I was in Turkey. I went on from there to Pakistan. All of this is on our website, by the way. If you go to the events that I've gone to in the past, you can see pictures from these places. Even the man, Philip, is there. You can see him the night he made the Shahada. It's on the website, islamtomorrow.com. Open 24 hours a day.
Yes, thank you.
And plenty of...
free parking.
Free parking, right. Okay, anyhow. I keep waking you up, don't I? Okay. Well, This is a long answer, and I'm sorry, because I think maybe you didn't want me to go that far into it. But when I went to Pakistan, they said, for sure, everybody in Pakistan is Muslim. You will not give any shahadas there. And they were right. I did not give any shahadas at all on Sunday, the day I landed, nor Monday, nor Tuesday. I had to wait all the way up until Wednesday when I was at Habib Bank, and a man from Canada came in to make a deposit, and while he was there, the president introduced me to him. Not Musharraf, I mean the president of the bank. Let me just ask, anybody? Up Pakistan, say hey!
Hey!
May Texas dance who? Okay? Alright. Get that straight. Okay. Alhamdulillah. So the gentleman made his shahada right there in the Habib Bank. And a lady that was there with him, that was one of their partners in the business, immediately she said, okay, that's it. That makes sense. So see how, look at how is my travels wherever I go. Because this is what I focus on. But by the way, if you're a rock collector, I think you're going to find rocks when you travel. And if you're a butterfly collector, you're going to pick up butterflies. And if you're a stamp collector, you'll find stamps. But if you're looking for hearts, and that's what I look for, the hearts, you'll find those too. Alhamdulillah. Back to you.
Jazakallah khairan, Sheikh. You've been listening to IslamTomorrow.com, broadcasting live from the campus of the Ohio State University in Columbus, Ohio. Thank you very much for your attentiveness and your sharing with us tonight, and we pray that Allah accept it and that Allah give us all the good in. Aqulu qawli hadha wa astaghfirullah subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik wa nashhadu an la ilaha illa ant wa nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.
This is Yusuf Estes and Mutahir Sabri reminding you that it's only Allah who guides. So pray to Allah and ask for His guidance. Until next time, Salaamu Alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.